Well, we're talking again on the subject of how to have victory over sins. I want to come right down to the point of this evening. We referred last thing about temptation, being tempted, being tried. I think it's God's will that faith shall be tried. That's God's plan to try us and to test us. And I would say to every Christian here that as Christians, we can expect to be tried, our faith tested and tried and so forth. But that's been the experience of all Christians. Now, sometimes it's a good idea for us to just to go and ask somebody else about their own personal experience in their Christian life. And they'll tell you this, and you'll find this, that their experience is just like yours. In most cases, it's just like somebody else's. Somebody else has the same temptation, the same trials, and the same test. But the difference is somebody else's attitude toward that temptation. And that's where the whole difference comes in at. I'm convinced tonight, friends, that every battle, every trial, every test that you ever have is always in your will. It's always in the will. Every battle you ever have is in the will. And it's not in the thing. I stressed that one that last week about that. It is not the thing. Now get this, it is not the thing. That's not your trouble. But it's your attitude towards that thing that spells either defeat or victory for you. It's your attitude toward that. Now, sometimes folks come along and they say like this, well, the thing that happened was this, and this is the thing that upset me. No, 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 it isn't. Huh? You better say amen. It's not in the thing. Why, it's in your own will, see? It's in your own will. Sometimes something will happen and people here, maybe four or five folks in the church, four or five are offended and they're all upset and the rest of them are not upset. Well, it happened to all of them. What's the difference now? Why, their attitude toward it, see? Their attitude toward it. I believe that Romans 8:28 is always good. And we know that all sin. Well, let's start again. For we know all right. Now do you believe that? That all things work together for good to them that love the Lord, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Now, every trial and every test that you have is for your good. Now, when it comes to this temptation being tried, I think of 1 Peter 1:7, where Peter says there, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Now I want to ask you a question. Now would you be honest and tell the truth now? Honestly now? If you had your choice between fiery trials, temptations, hardships, difficulties, and so forth, on the one side, over here you had gold on the other side, if you had your choice of the two, which would you choose? Now be careful. Now, be careful. I want you to vote the way you act. If you had your choice now between fiery trials, temptations, difficulties, hardships, persecutions, and a lot of other things besides, on the one side, and gold on the other, which would you choose now? The fiery trials. You've had the fiery trial, really, have you? You have, I see. Well, now, what about it? How do folks generally act? Huh? You know, I've done this already. When folks come around and they say, oh, Brother Jesse, I'm having the hardest time. Oh, it just seems like I'm just testing and I'm just trying. Oh, it just seems like I just, it's just awful. And I say, well, praise the Lord, I'm glad to hear it. I'm just glad to hear it. Forget this, folks. If the devil doesn't bother you, then you don't have anything. Then you don't have anything. And the fact when I hear people say about the trial they're having shows me that you have something the devil's trying to get from you, see? Don't be surprised about temptation. Now, what does Peter say there? That the trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold that perishes though it be tried with fire might be found under praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Now, gold is precious. It is. But the crown of your faith is more precious. Now, well, how is gold refined, for instance? There are three thoughts in that verse there, 1 Peter 1:7. The trial of your faith and what it does and so forth. Well, you know, it's more precious than gold that perishes though be tried with fire. Say, how is gold refined? Do you know? Well, I worked right alongside of the gold refinery in Buffalo, New York, for about 4 years. And I learned some things there, working right alongside of the place. This metal is taken into a large kettle or a vat, and then the fire is applied below. And you know, this gold melts. It begins to boil. It becomes, it turns into liquid. And then as this gold begins to boil, every bubble brings impurities to the surface, the dirt, you know. The dirt and the slag and impurities in the gold, it keeps bubbling to the top, the surface. The smelter, he stands there with his ladle and he takes and he scums it off, you know, and he pours it over here. Well, as he watches, now as the heat is applied, it keeps boiling until finally just here comes a bubble and there comes a bubble, and it gets less and less. But as long as it keeps on bubbling, there's still impurities there. And you know, finally when it quits bubbling, no more bubbles come to the surface, he can say, well, it's 100% refined now. Now it's pure. It doesn't boil anymore. That's what, and you can apply all the heat you want to. Once it's pure gold, you can apply all the fire you want to, and it lies perfectly calm and still. Just like that. And then the smelter can lean over and he can look in and he sees in the gold the image of himself. It mirrors, in other words. He can just look right in there and he sees himself in the gold. Now there are three thoughts there in that verse. The trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though be tried with fire, might be found under praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. What does it mean there? What will it do? What would be for Christ to have our faith tested now when he comes? Well, I've given this before. I know I have. That is this. Say, fathers, how did you feel when your first child arrived and people came and looked at the baby and said he looks just like his father? How did you feel? Now, don't you start telling a fib here. Recently, I was in a home where a man, I asked him that question. He said, I felt sorry for the boy. I said, you didn't either. You didn't feel sorry for your little boy. I said, you were right glad. Well, he admitted he was. But how did you feel, fathers? Simply good, huh? Simply good. Well, how did your mothers feel when somebody came along and said they looked just like its mama? Feel simply good too, huh? Simply good. Now, I know how I felt when my little child was born. Sometimes they'll say they can just see Jancy in both children. Others come along and say they can just see the mother in both children. The folks that say they see Jancy in the children get a big smile from Jancy. And when they get a smile from the other side of the house. You know, it makes us feel good when people see in our children the image of ourselves. And friends, that's what your fiery trial. You refine me and you purify me and you cleanse me and you sanctify me. But I didn't expect the good Lord to use as much fire as he did. Huh? Well, what about this? When the fiery trials come, well, you'll thank God here's some more polishing going on. Just some more polishing going on. And if you boil, so there's still some impurities there. Impurities there, see? You ever hear folks say that, oh, sir, I just boiled. Some evidence, some impurities yet. Huh? Folks come along and lie about you and they slander you and they slap you in the face and call you all kind of names and they say and they think and they do and they say it right to your face sometimes they write you letters and all that, and what are you going to do? Sit there and just whine about it? If you got a waste basket, throw it in the waste basket and kind of fold your hands like this and smile and keep right on going. Huh? Right? Sure. That's right. I got a waste basket right alongside my desk. I got a wrist, it bends at the wrist, I hand it bends at the wrist. Sometimes get a letter, you know, a lot of criticism in it. I read a few lines of it and throw it in the waste basket. Don't even bother finishing it. Sit there and just smile. Why, sure. All depends on your attitude toward it, see? Now, thought about something else, though. One more point on this. Somebody said, Brother Jackson, there's some things in my life I just can't get victory over. It's all right for you to talk about getting victory, but I just can't get it. I've tried, I've prayed, and I've sought the Lord. I've done everything I can do, and I still don't have victory over it. Maybe somebody says, well, Brother Chancey, it's hard for me to forgive people. It's hard for me to forgive people. And I pray the Lord that he might give me grace to forgive somebody, but I'm just having trouble. I just can't forgive. I just can't. I know down in my heart there's something there shouldn't be there, and I don't have victory over it. Now, I believe this, it may be a number of things. It may, might mention a number of things. It might be pride. It might be jealousy. It might be hatred. Those are big sins. They shouldn't be there in the heart of a Christian. No, indeed not. No, no. But supposing there's something in you, well, you become a Christian, a number of things you were delivered from immediately. But there's some things you don't have victory over right away. And you do want victory, though. And there's one way of getting victory I know that works. And that is where James says, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. Now, I think we ought to have confession meetings. What do you mean by that? Well, perhaps here's I'd have a certain weakness, we'll say. Maybe it is an unforgiving spirit. I try to have victory, but I just can't get victory. I just pray and I try to get victory, but I just don't get it. So here's what I have to do. I'll go to a number of brethren, maybe five or six spiritual brethren. Now, don't go to the kind you can't trust. There's no virtue in going to somebody and confessing to somebody you can't trust. You better not do it because you'll be disappointed. And then you feel that much worse yet. But perhaps, I'll come to Brother Mose, and I'll say, Brother Mose, I have a fault I want to confess to you. It's the fault of unforgiving spirit. I don't have victory over it. I want you to pray for me, brother. I come to all the rest of you, and I confess that to you, see? And I said, I want you to pray for me. And as soon as somebody comes and confesses to you, you are duty-bound to pray for him. Now, that wouldn't mean if I come, Brother Lester comes to me and he says, Brother Jancy, I want to confess a fault to you. My fault is that I can't forgive people, and I want you to pray for me. Now, what am I going to do? Going around and tell, well, Brother Lester, he surely is some fella. He told me himself that he can't forgive people. He told me himself. Think of it. Huh? No, you don't do a thing like that at all. You get on your knees and you pray for him. See, you're duty-bound. Whenever somebody comes to you and confesses a fault to you, you are duty-bound to pray for him immediately. Somebody here perhaps has a craving, some habit. I don't care what it is, if it's tea or coffee or chewing gum or any habit that you have, and you want victory over that, you may have to go to a number of brethren or sisters in some cases and just come out and just confess that I crave the stuff. I crave it. I just crave it. It's a weakness with me. Brother, pray for me. And I guarantee you, if we do more of that, there'll be more victory. There'll be more victory. But what we do is this. You know, somebody has, I'll be frank with you. We as a church, as the body of Jesus Christ, are too far apart. We can't trust anybody anymore. Shame on us. It ought to be that whenever anybody needs help, they can go to any of God's people anywhere, and you just go there and you confess your faults, and you can just pray together and get victory that way. But in so many cases, you just wonder, well, where can I go? Who could I go to? I don't know who to go to, because, well, I can't trust him, I can't trust her, and so forth. Where would I go? And so folks carry their burden and their struggle year after year after year, and many times they die out, they freeze out, and so on. Starve out. Well, that's too bad. But he says, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. It avails much. How much it does. Sure it does. I know a number of things in my own life. When I got saved, I was delivered from immediately. I know because of my own experience. Other things I wasn't. It took some time before I got victory over it. But that That's why we need help. One thing I didn't get victory over right away was the battle with doubts. I had the wonderful assurance of salvation for 3 days. Well, I was just walking by feeling. It's good for 3 days, and that's all. And then it was all gone. Feeling left me, didn't know where I was standing at. And the strange part of it was, I got saved on a Sunday night. On a Wednesday night, I was in prayer meeting. And that's where I lost the victory, in prayer meeting. Can you imagine that? No, pardon me, it wasn't prayer meeting. It was a regular church service, a visiting preacher there. And you know that Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, fine. But somewhere on the road to church, I lost it. Don't know where or how, but I did. So it seemed. I got to church, and I sat in the back bench, and I thought, well, what's happened to me? What's happened? Why, what's happened? It's all gone. You know, the struggle with doubts, well, that lasted quite some time, but you know the mistake that I made? I prayed, I pondered, I wondered, I thought, well, what's the matter here now? And I'd check my life, and I'd confess my sins again, and I'd do everything I think I could do, and I'd pray, and I'd study, and I'd close my bedroom door, and I'd throw myself on the bed, and I'd just pray and study and read, you know. I had an awful time of it. But you know, you know what I should have done? I should have gone to the brother who helped me at the altar and said, brother, if something happened to me, I'm bothered with doubts. What's happened to me? And that dear brother, Brother Noah Miller of Joey County, Ohio, I know, oh, he'd have been so happy, because he is that way. He'd have been just so happy if I'd have only cared. But I didn't do it. See? Still, that went up and down, up and down, up and down, in and out, and in and out, and up and down, in and out. Well, I should have had help. I should have gone and confessed to him, see? Huh? Every Christian ought to have at least a few close Christian friends that you can go to anytime with any problem and talk it over and pray together and get the victory. Amen. That's right. Well, praise the Lord for victory in Jesus Christ. Now, I want to say again, it's never God's plan that his people should be defeated even once. You believe that? It's never God's plan that his people should be defeated even once. But friends, I tell you, the price is worth it. The price that you have to pay and the effort you put forth. And again, in closing, I'll emphasize this, that when you pray and when you seek victory, remember this point, that you must cooperate with God. God says, all right, I'll answer your prayer, but you must cooperate. You go and see this brother over here. You go and see the sister over here. You go and confess over there and tell him you're false over there. Now, God will answer your prayer, providing you cooperate, see? But you just get on your knees and you just pray and pray and pray, and you won't cooperate with God. God won't answer your prayer either. But you must cooperate. Amen. That's right. Let's all stand together for prayer. Brother Stern, he is in prayer.